now writing for us as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much for being with us, and I'm afraid this story is going to keep on going, so thank you again for being with us.
Thank you.
That is it for Fight the Empire. Stay tuned for Air Cascadia on KBOO, your radio station.
And you're listening to KBOO Portland. Thursday morning with about 15 minutes to go before we kick off Flashpoints with your host, Dennis Bernstein. Join us at 11 for Between the Covers, welcoming author Melissa Phoebos and her novel Abandon Me, a story about how a woman's body and a body of literature hold memory. But first, Chris Andre will be hosting Air Cascadia with headlines, interviews, and commentary. Hey, thanks KBOO members for your generous support. If you're not a current member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Steve Early Lecture, taking place Sunday, March 19th at the First Unitarian Church in Portland. Steve Early, author of Refinery Town, Big Oil, Big Money, and the Remaking of an American City, will speak and discuss his book regarding the transformation of Richmond, California, from a fossil fuel-dominated town to one of the most progressive cities on the West Coast. Again, that's Steve Early, Sunday, March 19th at 7 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church, 1121 Southwest Main Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Thursday, March 16th, 2017, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio, your sanctuary radio, your resistance radio at 90.7 FM on the air, KBOO.FM everywhere. Weather today, slight chance of shower, so it doesn't look very likely at this point. And other than that, we should see a high around 54, light winds. And for tonight, 38 degrees and a light east wind. Tomorrow, rain returning, but not until afternoon. Otherwise, patchy fog and a high around 52. And there is actually a pretty good chance of rain tomorrow. So just to know that. And for tomorrow, Friday night, rain likely, and a low around 48. So that is it for your Air Cascadia, your Cascadia bioregion weather. We are going to try to reach some very interesting people who are really hard to reach, actually. We're going to try to speak with some Arab women leaders on the subject of arms sales as a cause of insecurity. It seems obvious, and yeah, it is, but what is not obvious is that the long chain of algorithms that are generated by arms sales, and it all when we talk about arms sales, there are the huge deals, and of course, Israel being one of our main customers, as is Saudi Arabia. The U.S. really is indiscriminate insofar as its decisions about people about national entities purchasing arms, though they'll basically sell to just about anyone. There is a gray area in which quasi-governmental agencies, such as ISIS, is also make purchases. And then there would be a darker area where third, fourth, and fifth parties. The chain is much like the manner in which money disappears into offshore tax havens and money laundering enterprises. As the two are indeed so close, they often meet in those smoky back rooms that we all know so well, from which emanate so much of our unofficial government policy. Take a look, by the way, if you want to know more about one of the destinations that dark money and arms, Azerbaijan, in particular Baku, where there's a Trump hotel financed but with money from Iranian in groups, Kurds Brigade, and other violent groups in Iran who have money that they need to make disappear. And a really great place to make it disappear is inside a Trump hotel or condominiums or whatever it is this week. But yes. Arms sales around the world are fueling the conditions that produce events like the war in Syria. It's small scale, small weapons. We people talk about how in the so-called good old days that there were tribal feuds, but nothing like on the scale we're seeing now. And the reason being is that the availability of guns of all types. That is indeed what we want to try to talk about today with guests Hibak Osman and Fatim Otaleb. We are trying to reach one of the organizers of this. Priti Shekhar has been working hard to bring these two women to U.S. shores, and wow, it's ever gotten harder. It's amazing to me that they managed to get into the country at all, and I guess we'll have to see what happens as they try to make their way back. There is a report out of a Bloomberg headlined Trump wins Saudi praise for a turning point after meeting a prince. This is regarding Donald Trump's meeting with Mohammed bin Salman. And activists from Somalia and Morocco at this point are in the U.S. for a limited time. And they came here to speak at this year's session of the Commission on the Status of Women, which started at the UN. Hibak Osman is from Somalia and the founder of Karama. It's a movement to end violence against women and ensure sustainable, inclusive peace and democracy in that region. And Fatima Outlaleb is Moroccan. She is Moroccan, and she is the Middle East North Africa representation for the Global Network of Women's Shelters. She's a founder and director of Karama. So these two advocate for peace as a result of investments in education, health, transportation, food infrastructure, basic to a life that is not a day in, day out quest for bread, water, and basic elements of security. The two of these two pointed out that the United Nations already has mechanisms to facilitate peace negotiations. So we have just to mention the Security Resolution SR 1325 on women, peace, and security, that alone has the potential to create and sustain conditions that would militate against this constant tribal war waged. These are tribal wars from another century, waged in the past, waged with weaponry of another century, this one in the future. The UN, the world is facing, it says that the world is facing its greatest humanitarian crisis since 1945. Although that 1945 was moving into the end zone, and this one is this time what we have today. Many, many wars, increasing violence, and in almost every case, when you see this the type of violence that we have today in Syria, it generally is only moves towards larger weaponry and greater danger, greater insecurity, greater movement of people whose lives are being utterly, not to say they're disrupted, is the understatement of the day. That said, there are other opinions, feelings, the way people have come in some of these countries affected by small arms sales have come to realization. A lot of people in Somalia say that they don't want peace because it won't benefit them. The people paying for wars are rarely the ones in power. People are dying for lack of water and medicine, and it is that stuff is not in the headlines. Intervention is not about helping people to build a country. It's to kill some enemy or pursue some agenda. So especially internal to a country like Somalia, people fighting to position themselves. It's not about principles. It's violent factions who are being used by outside powers. What we hear in the news about countries like Somalia is so far from the actual truth that people attempt to live with or in the end up fleeing or being killed by. These are the conditions that go unreported, and we do want to whether we are able to get Fatima Orpati on the line. We don't know yet. We'll just kind of wait and see what's going to be possible today. Again, their travel and the fact they're in the country at all is amazing. The changes in the world right now mirror are so fast and so unpredictable. In many ways, they mirror changes happening in our habitat, in the natural world, where we have human activity has caused changes to our environment coming so fast. We have no way of keeping up with it and no way of knowing what kind of a future we are right now crafting out of the ruins of the past. At the center of it all is Donald Trump, a person with a very thin skin, very susceptible to misbegotten ideas that he feels would suit his agenda. Probably a terror that what he thinks is his agenda could be something else or someone else's, not having many thoughts of his own, never having learned to produce thoughts of his own. This is the leader, literally, of the world. We used to say the president was the leader of the free world. It is more and more evident that Trump is the leader, not of the free world, but of a world that is rapidly turning itself into an open-air concentration camp. It's a prison camp. And within the invisible walls of our 21st century prison camp, the fighting continues to escalate. Under extraordinary pressure from said unseen walls. Donald Trump will certainly, if there is history at all, post-Trump, he will go down in history. His legacy will be walls of one sort or another. So that said, judge in Hawaii has prevented Trump and enraged him. Don't forget we have two completely different worlds here. We've got Trump and his followers, and they're there. They're still out there. And then they have the rest of us who actually do read and support the press like never before. we no longer have the luxury of hacking and slashing away at the media. Right now we're hacking and slashing to try to hang on to the remnants. So yes, Hawaii has prevented Trump's plan from, it would have been going to effect today were it not for this decision preventing Trump from excluding people based on religion. Meanwhile, Trump has come up with his budget, and it says more about Trump than even the likes of Steve Bannon could possibly say. That said, still waiting to see if our guests emerge from the corners of the internet. We are finished for today. This has been Air Cascadia for Thursday, March 16th, 2017. Roch Bergeron, engineering for us today. Thanks very much, Roch. Derek Cooks is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.